do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can be what it says I can be.
I can be what it says I can be.
I can have what it says I can have.
I can have what it says I can have.
I can go where it says I can go.
I can go where it says I can go.
I can learn what it says I can learn.
I can learn what it says I can learn.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is, we started a series last week about the Christmas story. If you have your Bible, I'd like to turn with me to Luke, the first chapter. What I want to do today is just take a few things that I think is kind of unique out of the Christmas story and see how it applies to our life today. Just take some principles from the Christmas story and make application to our life. How many believes this Bible is a very applicable book for today? It's relevant. It's we can apply it today in all of its principles. Last week we talked about the initiation of the Christmas story started with what? A problem, remember? And who knows what the problem was? Look over at your neighbor and say, you were the problem. Did you know that? Yeah. We fell into sin, didn't we, through our ancestors, Adam and Eve, and so we needed a Savior. And so the Christmas, the cross began to come into play way back in the book of Genesis. And so the solution, and by the way, remember last week, because sometimes we think, well, the cross is the star is the star, Jesus is the star, and I just want you to know, you're the star of Christmas. Because how many knows Jesus didn't need Christmas? You needed Christmas. He was doing fine right where he was, seated at the right hand of the Father. And so, but he looked at us, thank the Lord. He looked at us with compassion, and he said, here's what I created. Here's what, they're made in my image. They're my kids. And he chose to come and die for us, that we might have life. And so you're the star of the Christmas program, really. Because his heart was reaching out to you in compassion and passion. And then Jesus was the champion. He came and did what only he could do through living a sinless life. And so Jesus is the champion and you're the star. Now, what I'd like to do today in the Christmas story is just look at some of the events. And it amazes me and some of the people and some of the circumstances that went on in the Christmas story. And it reveals something, I think, some truths that we need to know about this Christmas. In Luke, the first chapter, and verse 5, it said, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And so here we have the story of a couple. He's a priest and very well known in his community and in the church. And this is someone you would think. Now, if you're going to bring a prophet, and God says to his son, we're going to bring someone and create someone to really be a mouthpiece to say that Jesus is coming. He's the announcer, if you will, that says, I've got salvation coming in a different form, a New Testament. And so he's John's life. We know him as John the Baptist. And so if you're Pentecostal, well, just get over it. It's John the Baptist, okay? If you're Catholic, it's John the Baptist in this story. That's what we call him. And so anyway, he says, we're going to create John the Baptist, and he'll be a mouthpiece, and he will say that salvation is coming to men through Jesus Christ, and repent and be baptized. And so this was his whole focus. He was saturated in that message and that theme. And just like John was created, and I'll take you there at the end of this message, but just like John was created with a theme and a passion, guess what? God put a theme and a passion in you. You may not know it right now, but he put a theme and a passion in you. And I tell you, the most fulfilled and happy people on the planet are the people that find that calling and that theme and that passion and begin to walk in that. It's just, they get up every morning with purpose. And I tell you, you can do the same thing. God's made it available for you and I to do the same thing. Just like with the singers getting up, you know, that's not effort for them. They're playing on their chord. See? And that's why you enjoyed it, and that's why it fulfills us and blesses us when they lead us into the presence of God, is because they're playing on their purpose, what God has given to them. Same way it is with some of you that are really good at what you do, maybe in your job. When if you do something for the glory of God with all your heart, how many knows your job is a ministry? It's not just a job to make a living. Elizabeth Dole, I was telling one of our classes this morning, Elizabeth Dole said it this way, if you do what you love, in life. You'll never have to work a day in your life. And that's what I get to do. I get to pastor a church and study the Word and preach and aggravate you all. And that just, boy, I am in my zone. Amen, says somebody over there. That's it. You know, I love pastoring. I love studying the Word and digging out little truths and nuggets like I got this week for you and for me, for our growth. And so here they are, and they're Elizabeth, and she's in the lineage of Aaron himself, Moses' brother. So God has really put this together in a great fashion. I mean, this is two well-respected people in the church, but how many knows what their problem is? See, with everything that we think, and God does, and He's always on time, and He's always perfect in what He does, but sometimes we have a problem with the way God does things. You ever had a problem with the way God does things? I can remember as a young preacher, when I first started this church, I was about 30 years old, and I remember saying to Jesus one morning, what if somebody comes in the church that's smarter than me, and I could hear laughter in heaven? And this is honest to God, this is what I felt like God said to me in my spirit, my son, everybody that comes in your church will be smarter than you, so get over that. And so ever since He's told me that, I've had a good time. And so, because he said, it's not about you, it's about my purpose, it's about my plan. And so here, Elizabeth and Aaron, they're set up. They're prominent people in the church, but they have a problem. And let's look at it. It says, they were both righteous, verse 6, before God, walking in the commandments of the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. That's who you would want to bring a prophet through, isn't it? It says, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. And so that was their problem. They were old. I love the way Zacharias, when an angel of the Lord appeared to him, you can tell he's a very seasoned and a very wise man. Look in verse 18. Zacharias, when he's talking about, he's telling him about bearing a child, and he's appeared to him in the temple. Can you imagine sitting in church one day, and all of a sudden you're by yourself, and you're praying to God, and just spending some communion and alone time with Him, and all of a sudden you look over, and there's a big angel just looking at you? Wouldn't that just freak you out? And he tells you all these plans he has for your life. And then Zechariah says, here's the problem. Verse 18, Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? Well, I just told you. That's how you should know this. And see, some of us need to realize that, you know what? When God tells you something in your heart, in your mind, that's how you know. And a lot of us are like some of the prophets that wanted a sign. You know, well, give me a sign. Well, Jesus is your sign, the Word's your sign, and also, how shall I know? And then he says, I am an old man. I'm going to bring the prophet through you, but I'm an old man. And then he says, he doesn't call Elizabeth old. He says, and my wife is well advanced in years. He is a wise man, isn't he? Well advanced in years. So he's got all the credentials. He's got the thoughtful heart. He's got they got everything. But they're old. And then so here's what I want you to know. Sometimes when you and I have been praying. In fact, look at let's just go through the story real quickly. In verse 8. So it was that while he was serving in the priest before God in the order of the division, according to the customs of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he would go into the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of the people was praying outside the hour of incense. The angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell on him. And he's never seen an angel. How many says, if an angel appeared to me, that would probably be my response. You know, you'd be anxious and fear would be upon you. You know, we're in here, we're locked in, you're locked in by yourself, and you know no one else is supposed to be in here, and all of a sudden there's Gabriel standing there. And by the way, Gabriel is no rookie angel. If you go back to Daniel, you'll see Gabriel standing there and talking about global matters with Daniel. I think it's in 6 and 8, I believe, is where it's at. In one place, he's actually having a conversation with God or Jesus from up above, and he's saying, tell this man what's going on. Tell him the interpretation of what I'm showing him. And so God is talking to Gabriel, and then it says Gabriel flies across to where Daniel is, so he's used to bearing news. In fact, let me give you this. Here's an application. If Gabriel ever shows up and he introduces himself to you, just know something big is about to happen in your life. Just know something huge is going on. Let's do a survey. How many would just love to see Gabriel show up at your house?
Yeah.
Ooh, be careful what you pray for. Because you just volunteered to do whatever God wants you to do. And so he's talking to Daniel about global events. And now he's coming one-on-one to Zacharias and saying, this is what I'm going to do. And so he just appears. So he's fearful, he's anxious. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid. So he senses his fear. And by the way, when Gabriel, for all of you that raise your hand, when Gabriel looks at you and says, do not be afraid, don't be afraid, okay? Because it'll mess your words up. The next thing that comes out of your mouth, if you're operating on fear, it will mess you up. So just take a pill and say, you know what? Gabriel said, don't be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. In fact, he's very serious when he tells you something. I think he's a happy angel because he talks about joy and gladness a lot, but he's a very serious angel. How many of you are happy and you're serious? So you got Gabriel traits. He says, don't be afraid, Zacharias. And then he says something interesting, for your prayer is heard. For your prayer is heard. Let me ask you something. How many, is Lou Stills not here today? She's our oldest member, but how many, you know, when you get in your 70s, your 80s, you're still going to pray, oh God, please can I have a baby, please?
Not even in my 50s.
Not even in your 50s. How many had a couple in your 20s that said, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Yeah. But he says, your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear your son, and you shall call his name John. Now watch Gabriel. He says, and you will have joy and gladness. Are you understanding? And when Gabriel looks at you, for all you raise your hand, when Gabriel looks at you and says, you will have joy and gladness, do this. just let it out. Come on, just let it out. Because I'm telling you, this is a time that you just want to say, this is what I'm learning from the lesson today. And so when Gabriel appears, and I just honestly believe that any of us that would say, you know what, God, if you want me to visit, send a visit to me through Gabriel, just go ahead and do that. I'm open to your will and to your way. I think that's a great possibility for you. He said, well, I don't believe that. Well, then he won't come to you, more than likely. It's people that believe. And so here he is, and he says, you'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. And here's what Zacharias is thinking. It won't be joyful, and Elizabeth is not going to have a baby. She's too old, and nobody would believe it if she did. That's what he's thinking. And it's okay to think, but when you begin to speak, you need to be careful if you're in the presence of an angel. Because they do have power. How many knows angels have power? And you're glad they have power, because every once in a while your angel has come between you and danger and you didn't even know it and spared you something. I believe every one of us have angels that watch over us. I've seen some of you drive, you need extra angels watching over you. Bob and his Harley, he needs extra angels. I've followed him 80 plus miles an hour.
You followed.
Well, he was losing me. But it with my personality, it was hard. But I had my angel on the back, and she's my governor. She slaps me on the helmet when we're going over the speed limit. She's most governors down here. He says, this is going to be awesome. You're going to have such a great time with this. People are just going to rejoice, and it's just going to be a wonderful event. And so he's a happy angel, and he says, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." This is your son I'm talking about, and it's so wonderful, and this is so happy, and this is such a blessed time, isn't it? John, you're favored, and this is awesome. Zacharias answered in verse 19, said to him, or 18, says, "How shall I know? How shall I know?" Well, you'll know, Zach, because I just told you. And it's going to be joyous, and it's going to be glad, and it's going to be a happy event, and it's going to be wonderful. And he says, "Man, I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said, "I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." He's hung on glad, isn't he? Because you know why? Because he stands in the presence of God. Let me tell you something. People that stand in the presence of God are hung up on glad and rejoicing. From 1 to 10, where's that at in your life today? Your gladness and your rejoicing. It's high if you're standing in the presence of God. We did a little fruit test Wednesday night in our Bible study. And two or three people voted me for joy. That's exciting to me. We'd say, you know, we'd name one of the fruits. I didn't get much on kindness and gentleness, but I got on joy. You know, we can't have them all. We got to have some of you loving people around us too. You know? My wife got kindness, you know, and some of you got picked for different things. And wasn't that cool? Just people say, it's just fruit we notice in you. And so joy was one of mine. And I enjoy life. Because I try to stay in the presence of God. And I look on you and I see the joy. And I know you've been in the presence of God. And then I see people with stressed out faces that you can tell they haven't been in the presence of God. They have no clue. They don't know. And then there's some of us Christians. Can I give you a testimony?
Sure.
Okay. Randy called me the other day. And you know, Randy is our Vietnam vet, and he's had a lot of health problems and stuff, and we prayed for him. But he's been a faithful warrior for Jesus for many years. And so he called me the other day, and he says, "Pastor, we need to pray. You know, I've got all these fences around me, and it's been up for years and years in our addition. And so I've replaced them all, but one neighbor won't go in with me and pay her half on this fence." And he said, we need to agree in prayer. And I said, okay. And then he started praying, "God, show her and help her and make her and do her and, you know, and all this stuff about her." And as he's praying, and the Holy Spirit whispers me and said, "Pray love over him." And so when he got through, I said, "God, you said love never fails. And help Randy to love her. Show him how to love her in this situation, Lord. Just give him a love for her and let him, you know, because it never fails. And give him wisdom on how to love her. And we just thank you that love is not going to fail, because he's going to use love and all this stuff." And as soon as I got through praying, he said, "Well, that might be kind of hard right now." I love his honesty. You know? I mean, he's got some neighbors. That might be kind of hard right now. But you know what? If you're like Gabriel and you're standing in the presence of God, it's not. See? So he called me the next day. He said, "Guess who got me up, woke me up at 6:30 this morning?" I said, "Jesus?" He said, "Yes." Jesus woke me up at 6:30 this morning. I said, "Guess what he told me?" He said, "Love your neighbor." He said, Evelyn and I wrote her a little love letter and put it on her door and said, "We're going to take care of the fence. Don't you worry about it. We'll take care of everything. We love you, Randy and Evelyn." He said, "Boy, what a release that was." He came in a while ago this morning. He said, "Guess what? I got my fence for half price." Yes! That's what happens when you stand in the presence of God. See? How many just stressed this morning? Well, I can tell if you're just here and you're just stressed, it's because you're standing in the presence of you and all your problems. And you can stand there if you want to. God won't remove you. He won't make you stand anywhere else. But he's inviting you to come and stand in the presence of God, where there is gladness and joy in whatever you do. He says, "Rejoice. You've been chosen by God." Amen. Yeah, you're 100, but who cares? You'll have a baby like that. God's in it. You know, here's an application for you. I told my friend, you know, Terry, that comes and preaches for us. He's a national prayer director, right? And so he knows all about prayer. You can set any study you want to do on prayer, Terry knows it. And I said, I got a little revelation from studying this week, and it was this. When you and I pray a prayer, we might want to ask this question. If I'm really going to put fervency in this prayer, ask this question. If I'm going to really bombard heaven with faith and all, ask yourself this question. If God didn't answer this prayer for 5 years, would I still want it? If God didn't answer this prayer for 10 years, would I still want this? If God didn't answer this prayer for 30 years, would I still want God to answer this prayer? See, that passes this litmus test that says, because that's what happened here. He said, oh, Zach, guess what? We heard your prayer. And Zach says, yeah, you heard it about 35 years ago, Bubba. And he says, and those prayers are going to be activated, boom, today. Just like turning on your electric. Today, that prayer is going to be activated. Now, would they have prayed that prayer 35, 40 years ago if they'd have known they were going to get answered when they're probably in their 90s or so? That's the way it was with Sarah and Abraham. Remember Sarah and Abraham when the angel says, by this time next year, Sarah's going to have a baby, and he's poor old Abraham, he just laughed. He said, yeah, she's going to have a baby, yeah. Well, you're the one that's going to tell her, because I'm not telling her, you know. And so he thought it was funny. And guess what? She was 90, and guess what? She had a baby, didn't she? She had a promised child, see. So here's a good thing for you to do. Good application here. When we're praying something and it's going to affect us in a powerful way, we might want to just say, you know what? Would I want this prayer answered this many years down the road? And if not, we might want to pray. You know what, God? I would love to have a baby, but you know what? Not after 60. You know, not after 50. You know, put that little clause on there. Put some thought into what you really asked for, because whatever you've prayed, according to this, whatever you prayed is still on the books, unless God has said yes or no. Now, sometimes the prayers are on the books, and He's already said no, and you're just not listening. I'm just not listening. Garth Brooks used to sing a song, I thank God for unanswered prayer. See? So, just a thought on prayer. Be careful what you pray, because you might get it. But you might get it. And they look like a couple that's destined to have a prophet, but they're out of their dispensation. That time has passed. Well, guess what? It hadn't passed. Now, here's what I want to make application here, is you know what? God may have given a dream to you, put a seed in your heart to be this or to do that, or to be a part of something that's a lot bigger than you are, and helping your community or meeting a need or doing some sort of ministry. And you think, well, I could have done that if God had used me way back when. But how many knows that God can still use you and birth things through you today if you'll just allow Him to? Listen, if you're still breathing, you're eligible for ministry. And I think everybody I've seen so far in this building is breathing this morning. So you're still eligible for ministry. Ray used to be a pastor. She pastored a church, and now she comes in, loves on our kids, and teaches those same principles and same, you know, our kids come out of there with, I mean, she takes them to the throne room. And she's old-time Pentecost, and you say, you got an old-time Pentecost teaching here? Yeah, we're interdenominational. We're in love with everybody. One of the highest compliments I ever got yesterday was sitting in a coaching class up at the SCU yesterday, and when one of our national directors looked over me, he said, you know what, you just accept people right where they are. And I thought, I don't know if he knew that as a compliment, but to me that's a compliment. I accept people right, and I try to do that. I try to practice that. That wherever you are in your life, I want to receive you right where you are. Because you got something you'll teach me if I just hang around you for a while. Yeah. Even right where you are, if you come in hurt and distraught, you'll teach me something that I need to learn. If I'm open to you and open to different ways. See? That's why we get so closed off, and that's why we get so many walls built up in the kingdom. And when God's saying, you know what, just come in and love everybody. Love never fails. Doctrine will fail because nobody has perfect doctrine. You know? So just to love one another. So anyway, he comes up and he says, you know, how will I know these things and all? And Gabriel says, I'm the Gabriel sense in the presence of God, and I speak to you with and bring you these glad tidings. This is a joyous moment. And so finally he says, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. You prayed it. It's going to be done, so get over it. See? Now I want to tell you something. You and I would never put together, you and I, if we were sitting down in the Christmas story, God allowed us to be on a committee. This is the committee, and we've just been given the task to say, okay, let's bring in a prophet. And we looked at Elizabeth, and we looked at Zacharias, and we said to them, oh, the credentials is just awesome. And then one of us scans on down, one of you fast readers, Haley says, oh, but look down at the bottom, Pastor. And we look down at the bottom of their sheet, their resume, and to bring in the prophet, and it says 92 and 99. Well, we better look at someone else. And we would go to the next one, because we're thinking in our finite minds. We're not thinking in terms of what God can do and what God... And that's the way we do ourselves sometimes. Oh, you know, used to God could have birthed this through me, but now I'm old and, you know, I'll just set this dream aside. You know what? One of the things they're having us do in the life focus area right now is called focused life. And it's a national program I'm going through as a coach, and what they're teaching us to do is pull out dreams out of the darkness. I love this part. I told them this weekend, I said, I love this part of our teaching and our learning that we're getting. And let me pass it on to you just real quickly. And what it is Doug Fike was the speaker, and he said, you know what? A dream is not a goal. It doesn't have legs, does it? But here's what I want to challenge you with. Some of you that used to have huge dreams of being. He said, here's what I want you to do, an exercise. Take your dreams and pull them out into the light as possibilities. How many knows through God what? What's possible through God? All things. So just pull them out into the light and look at them and say, if God would call me for that, if God still wanted to do that, I'm available. And I'd like to just challenge you with that. Just to pull your dreams, your big dreams, not dreams that you could accomplish on your own. Not dreams that, in fact, I like for them to be so big that if you told them, people would laugh at you. I'd like to be a brain surgeon, and I'd like to discover some cure for, you know, whatever. Let's dream. How many would ever dream? Elizabeth and John never dreamed that God is going to bring the prophet that's going to announce Jesus Christ. They would have never, I don't think they'd ever dreamed that they was going to do that through them. But evidently it's still on the shelf, wasn't it? Because the angel just looked at him and says, I heard your prayers. Your prayers have been answered. So just pull them out there and lay them out there. You know what one of my dreams was for years, and I just kind of put it out in the darkness, was I'd like to own a section of land. This is a personal dream, not a ministry dream. You know, do it in your marriage, do it in your spiritual life, do it in your finances. But I'd like to, in my personal preferences, whatever, you know, I'd like to have a section of land. 660 acres? 640? 640 acres of land that I could own, that I could just set aside for me and my family, and we could go hunting whenever we wanted to, or fishing. That was just for a long time. And so I just pulled it back out. The Bible says God give you the desires of your heart. Now that's just a little personal thing that I'd like. But then in ministry and then in spiritual life, what would you want? What would you want? What's something that's big that you used to dream about and think about, but now you just pushed it out because life happens? How many life has happened to you? You know? So your dreams just kind of have to wait. You know, well, I got married. You know, I took a family. God didn't give you a family to curse you. They're a blessing. They're a blessing. Here's another personal one. I'd just like to take all my kids and my grandkids, which they're growing, man. I want to do this before I get great grandkids, because it's just going to go up and up and up. But I want to take them all snow skiing. Just take the whole family for a week. Just snow skiing and pay for everything, and just me and my kids and grandkids at a really nice ski resort. That's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. Then in some of my spiritual, I have denominational dreams and church dreams about every pew being full or seat and by when, and just jotted it down. But to pull it out and dream again. Listen, if God can say, you know, in this Christmas story, all things are possible with God. How many would have brought Jesus in through a teenager? That's just crazy, isn't it? If I was here today and I say, we're part of the Christmas committee and we're going to take a vote now, and we got some really healthy, beautiful young teenage men and women, and how many would like to just bring Jesus in through one of these teenage couples? Well, no, none of you would raise your hand. You say, what, are you crazy? You want to kill him or what? They don't have their values. They're not where they need to be yet, and they're you know, haven't experienced life, and none of us would bring him in through a teenager, would you? Well, maybe a teenager would, because you vote for your friends or whatever, your popular friends. But none of us would. I mean, you know, and we'd say, let's get somebody more experienced, and somebody that. And all I'm saying is, you can't make sense. When God just lays something in your heart to be something and to do something. You can't put age and you can't put qualifications and you can't put all that stuff on it. He's just looking for vessels that are willing. Just say, God, I'm here. Just pour into me. Just pour into me. What do you want me to do? I'll start doing that. I'll start taking... What's the first step? And the way he does things, I don't know why he does it, but he just does. Whenever he decided finally to use Mary and Joseph, how many would have told him one at a time? I would have never done that. I would have set Mary and Joe down together, and I said, now look, this is big, you know. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I'm here, and you two just need to hang on to each other, because I got some big news for you. You know, before you start your family, you've been picked to start God's family. Aren't you excited? But no, he told Mary, and he let her wallow, you know, just that burden was all over her, and then he had to give Joe a dream, and I thought, why didn't you just make it simple and set them down together? Joe was going to give her a divorce. Because he couldn't figure that out. And why didn't he just put them together and set them down? And I don't know why he didn't, but you know what? God's ways are above our ways, and his ways, he's perfect, and we can just trust him. So when you're looking at what God wants you to do, and you don't know why he did it that way, say, I don't understand. This just doesn't make a bit of sense to me, but I trust you.
That's right.
One of my pastor friends said, when God called me to speak, I thought he made his first mistake. But he was a good preacher, you know, and he loved speaking, and maybe that's the way you feel. But I want to tell you something. The Christmas story is about using ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. And that's what God wants to do for you this Christmas season. He wants you to believe that, you know what, whatever God wants you to do, that's what he can do. If you'll just get out of the way and say, God, I'm open. I'm your Christmas gift this year. You gave me a Christmas gift of life. I'm your Christmas gift this year. Just use me to touch whomever you want, to give whatever you want, wherever you want. There's needs in my community. There's needs in my family. There's needs all over the world. So just use me. I'm your Christmas gift this year. And take off all the boxes and the limitations and say, use me for your glory. Just speak in my heart and let me know what you want me to do, and I'll be your person. Huh? Can you do that? Can you become God's Christmas gift this year? You don't have to. You can walk in darkness all your life if you want to. God will never overstep your will. But he's laid out before us the gift of eternal life and said, come and I'll give it to you if you want it. Through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the greatest gift that's ever been given to us, Jesus Christ, your Son. It was such a huge undertaking that you chose this precious couple that had prayed and prayed for a baby. And when they thought all hope was gone, You brought this beautiful prophet that would go before Jesus and announce His coming to fulfill their dreams. God, today there's dreams and visions and there's things that have died in this room that once was birthed from You. And I pray that today that they'll be reborn today. That we'll take off all the boundaries and all the limitations and we'll say, God, we just believe that You can use us to do whatever You want, to achieve whatever You want, to be whatever You want. Speak to us as Your children. And God, give us the courage and the faith to do whatever it is that You've called us to do. And I pray, Lord, that an extra dose of love would come upon us this Christmas season. That we'll be loving just like Randy and Evelyn were with their neighbor. That's a great story, Lord. Great testimony of Your love and how when we yield to Your love, that You just shine through us and then You bring blessing to us. And so we ask that this Christmas will be Your Christmas gift. Ready and willing to love our neighbors and love our communities and love our world for Your glory. While Christians are praying and heads are bowed, if you're here today before we dismiss, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. We'll always try to give you an opportunity before we dismiss. But if you're here today and you say, you know what, life's not working for me the way I thought it would work, let me tell you, there's a way that it works best, and that's when you yield your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. You ought to give Him a try. And if you're ready and you're here today, just pray this with me. You can pray it silently to Him or out loud. It doesn't matter. But if you're here today and you want to change and you just say, I need Christ. I've tried life my way and I want to try it His way. I want to give my life to Him. Here's the prayer I want you to repeat after me. Just say this to Him. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and life and forgive me of my sins. I repent of all my sins. Everything that I've done to bring shame to You, I repent, Lord. I give my life to You today. Be my Lord and Savior. And I thank You today, Lord, for showing Yourself to me. I receive You today as my Savior and as my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.